Let's Face the Issues, 5 p.m. Monday through Friday by Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University of Jacksonville, Florida. Dr. Youngblood, a biblical scholar and conservative theologian, deals with a variety of social, political, and moral issues, yet all biblical issues from a central biblicist's point of view. This call-in question and answer broadcast will provide you, the listener, with answers to questions that others have avoided. Remember, God's Word, the Bible, gives us the answers to life's questions and issues. Some of the issues we will address, allowing you, the listener, to call in and ask and respond to, are as follows. The dangers of Islam in America and around the world. What about abortion? The sin of homosexuality. Jacksonville and other cities facing the debate over open bathroom laws. Is Jesus really God? Could Jesus sin? The Second Amendment and the Christian. What about the coming Antichrist? Will America face war with Russia? How does Israel fit into prophecy? What is the real mark of the beast, 666? And multitudes of issues and topics. You're invited to tune in every day, Monday through Friday at 5 p.m. to listen to Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Thank you so much for joining us today. This is Dr. Youngblood, and once again, we want to face the issues. Issues, what does that mean? That means the things that are taking place in society, whether it be what is called political, social, economic, military, biblical, theological. They're all issues. We're all faced with different issues, circumstance, each day. And so often we try to go to sociologists, psychologists, psychiatrists, etc., to find an answer, when the answer is already in the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. It's called the Bible. And Jesus himself said of the Scripture of the Bible, "Thy Word is truth," in John 17:17. Jesus had already said in John 8:31 and 32, "If you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Ladies and gentlemen, that's what this program is about. The truth. What is the truth? So often we have copies of things. You can make enough photocopies of an original, and if you're not careful, it will weaken and dim and will not be the absolute original, because you've gotten so far away from the original, you cannot recognize the original with so many copies. Well, it's a poor illustration, but it makes a point. In society today, we have left the centrality of the truth so far behind us that many do not recognize the truth today. So my challenge is, as we face the issues day after day on this broadcast, to simply make you, our listener, aware that we need to be a voice in the wilderness. We need to be light in the darkness. We need to be salt among decay. We need to take a stand and stand for truth. You see, as a Christian, we need to stand firm in our faith without apology for our biblical views and what the Scripture says. We ought not to apologize to the world for it. May I remind us, we will be vindicated in eternity for our stand today for truth, without backpedaling, without apology, without running, without hiding, but simply facing the issues in love with truth. Multitudes today are not interested in the truth. I pray that that's not the case with you. And by the way, you can join in this discussion, jump in any place you'd like to have your part of the dialogue and the discussion with what we're saying. Your question, your response need not necessarily coincide with what I'm talking about each day, but it's an open mic for you to call. You can call us at 401-1413. That's 904-401-1413. And while you're pondering that or getting to a telephone where you will not run off the road dialing the number, please don't do that. May I simply say, in the next several days, let me just give you a little hint of where we're going with some of the broadcast. We're going to be looking at, is Christianity disappearing from America? Is Christianity disappearing from America? Another issue that we'll deal with, is there a wall of separation of church and state? Is there a wall of separation of church and state? Another subject or issue we'll deal with, will the Christian go through the tribulation? Multitudes are saying that we will. Is it biblical? And another issue that we'll deal with over the next several days is the coming war with Russia. I am fascinated as I watch what is happening in Syria with Putin coming in, with Putin's involvement. I'm fascinated by what's taking place with the present administration in the past and in the present. I'm fascinated and encouraged by what I see in the scripture with God's absolute directive as to what we can expect in the future with the nation of Russia and how it has its interlocking prophetic picture with Israel, with Syria, and with America. And while you're pondering on some of those things we'll deal with in the future, we're going to be talking about the open bathroom. Now, perhaps you say, well, you've covered it. Yes, I have in some nuances, but we've not covered it completely. And it's an issue that's sweeping across America, not just here in Jacksonville, not just in the state of Florida. And it's an issue that I'm gravely concerned about simply because so many Christians, yes, I could be speaking to you, my dear listener friend, so many Christians are nonchalant. So many Christians are saying, well, it doesn't really affect me. So many Christians are saying, well, so what if that is the case? I'll just simply avoid the public bathrooms, et cetera, et cetera. But ladies and gentlemen, it goes far deeper than that, far broader than that. And if we're not careful, we're going to see all of our religious liberties and Christian freedoms absolutely foreclosed upon in our nation. May I remind us also that you can worship with us on Sundays. 9:30 on Sunday morning is the Bible study hour, Sunday school hour. 10:45 is the morning worship. 7 p.m. on Sunday evenings is the evening worship. And then on Wednesdays, we have the midweek Bible study, prayer time, and fellowship meal. You're invited to worship with us, attend with us on any of those occasions during the course of each week. The other thing I want to make mention of, some of you are familiar with it. Others of you perhaps have not heard the promo that I do occasionally on this broadcast for our university, Conservative Theological University. We've been in existence here in Jacksonville for some 34 plus years. We've had the joy and the privilege and the delight of training hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of pastors, associate pastors, missionaries, Christian counselors, and Christian school teachers across America and in multitudes of foreign countries. We would love to have you give us a call at 1-800-GO-BIBLE. Talk with an admissions counselor about the potentiality of transferring. If you have credits that you've done in a college, whether it be secular or religious, your credits, if it is a creditable institution, your credits are transferable. We'd love to be able to do a transcript analysis for you and help you to determine what you would like to do with your credits and how you would like to build on those to get your credential. Our university offers in the undergraduate through the postgraduate degree program, associate through the PhD. And this semester, for the first time in the history of our university, we're offering the first 50 applicant students anywhere from 50% to 100% scholarships. It's a grant scholarship developed from our university to assist you in getting enrolled and started with your program. If you're a pastor, associate pastor, Christian educator, Christian counselor, want to increase your learning, broaden your and deepen your understanding of the scripture, and get your ultimate certified credential in biblical studies and theological studies, pastoral ministry, give us a call at 1-800-GO-BIBLE and let us talk with you about the potential of coming on board with us. Now, as a little brief transition, when we talk about open bathrooms, literally, it is the most astonishing thing that I have seen. America has always been different from other nations. We have completely different foundation. Our nation was founded upon a belief and submission to biblical truths, not a secular belief system. Our Constitution was completely written, developed from and by men that believed in God, recognized Him as sovereign, and believed in the fact that our government ought to be in submission under the sovereign hand of Holy God. Yet we continue to hear, and I'm kind of befuddled with it, if I can use that term, I'm kind of bothered with the fact that we hear from many political leaders across both aisles in the House and the Senate and throughout Washington and the administration, we continue to hear that America needs to be like other countries. They'll usually talk about some ten-horn dictatorship nation with some dictator at the helm, and how they have free education and free health care, and they have free this and free that and free the other. Look at Argentina. Look at a number of nations today that are collapsing under the hand of a dictator with the socialistic, communistic system of government, and see what they're getting. People are filling the streets, searching for money, searching for food, without jobs, burning buildings, destroying their government edifices as a result of their anger against it. Then you can take places like France and Germany and England and understand why, even with these countries, we have our political leaders saying, well, maybe we need to be like them. Well, ladies and gentlemen, what is it about France and Germany and England and that part of the Western world? They have embraced Islam completely. Christianity has been marginalized totally. Islam today controls France and most of Germany. The economy is in the toilet in these countries. Churches are few and limited in the society. They have no religious liberties in these countries. We're talking about Germany and France and England in general. Multitude by the hundreds of churches are being closed, going out of business. Islam taking over those churches and building Islamic mosque or some type museum building or some type office building or a pub or a pizzeria, now filling what used to be a house of God. No religious liberties. Freedom of speech doesn't exist in these countries. Morals are historically low in those countries. You have open immorality. I could tell you some of the things that taking place in some of those countries that would make you stand your hair stand up on its head to know what's happening in some of these countries. Yeah, I understand. And some will mitigate against and say, but some folks are coming to Jesus. That's right. But ladies and gentlemen, the scripture warns us that we're going to have a falling away in the last days, a great apostasy. And contrary to what many would have you to believe in the easy believism and the philosophical rhetoric that's given so often by way of multitudes on radio and television, that it is so great and grand and how we have in revival globally, that's simply not the case at all. Simply not true. It's not going to get better and better, but worse and worse. Nation against nation, people against people, wars and rumors of wars, pestilences and diseases and earthquakes in diverse places, according to Matthew chapter 24. We're not going to get better and better. It's going to get worse and worse. But I'm talking about the difference in America and what we find in other countries. There, in all of these countries like France and Germany and England and most of the European countries over there, open bathrooms and open sex and raw porn being taught in the classrooms today, in the government-controlled schools of those nations. Hate speech will cause anyone to be arrested if you say anything about Islam and homosexuality. Yes, I'm talking about hate speech in those nations that we so often tout by our leadership in America, saying that we need to be like those other nations. Hate speech is prevalent. A pastor cannot stand in the pulpit and preach against Islam or sodomy. It's called homosexuality, of course, and you don't find that word in the Bible. But we have the privilege and the freedom and the liberty in America to, for pastors to still stand against sin and to preach against sin and to talk about thus saith the word of God and talk about heaven and talk about hell and talk about what we ought to do as a church and as Christians and as believers. We have now national and state and local politicians bought with lobbyist dollars pushing for HROs. It's not just here in Jacksonville, the Human Rights Ordinance expansion. HROs and open bathrooms laws wanting to inculcate in our system. We'll talk about it in a moment or two about what's happening in Jacksonville. That's happening across the nation. By the way, I don't know if you heard the latest about Governor Cory McCrory in North Carolina. The NCAA said they're pulling out six events out of North Carolina. And he has written a castigating, stinging response in the Weekly Standard in relationship to that. He says to them, if that's what you really believe, if you're condemning the state of North Carolina for not wanting to have open bathrooms in our state, then he suggests for the NCAA to go ahead and join the ladies and women's sports teams, let them take showers together, let them go to the bathroom together, let them go to the locker rooms together. But they're not going to do that. He's saying that it's hypocritical. It is the epitome of hypocrisy for the NCAA to say that they're not going to do those events in North Carolina because of the open bathroom law that prevents the perverts and the pedophiles and the transsexuals and the mentally, emotionally confused over their sexuality. And I commend the governor in North Carolina for his stand. I pray to God that he will continue that stand and that God will vindicate what he's doing to protect the state of North Carolina. I pray that somehow, some way, we'll get leadership in our city and in our state that will have backbone to do the same thing that Governor McCrory has done. I pray that somehow, some way, that God will vindicate we, the believers, as we take a stand. Ladies and gentlemen, you can call and jump in, ask a question. Perhaps you've never heard of the open bathroom law. Perhaps you don't know what an HRO is, what the acronym stands for. Call us at 401-1413. Love to have dialogue and discussion with you on that subject or other subjects that you are concerned about and passionate about locally. It's because we have 10 or 12 of our city council members, and I'll on one of our broadcasts in the future, I'm going to call the name of the city councilman. I'm going to tell you what they received from the Sodomite treasure chest and how I believe, it's my opinion, that they have received a bribe. When you go to the Florida statute, and I challenge you, our listeners, Google Florida statute 838. That's Florida statute 838.015. I believe I'm correct on that. It's the bribery law in the state of Florida. And if a politician accepts a campaign contribution in view of future vote on a law or an ordinance that's coming up, it is considered a bribe. And may I suggest that it's my most humble opinion that we've got 10, 11, 12 of our council members that's received a bribe from the Sodomite community, the Coalition Jacksonville, the Coalition for Florida, as they call themselves. It is the fact that across the nation there's a movement to destroy the morals and ethics and the values in our cities, in our states. And these politicians so interested in greed and taking dollars that they accept campaign dollars from the Sodomite groups and from also from the gambling kingpins. And I'm going to talk more about that in some of our future broadcasts because the slots referendum is coming up in November. And I beg you, I plead with you, I challenge you, research the danger and the damage for any community that puts slot machines, gambling slot machines, into a community. What it does to the homes, what it does to the family, how it denigrates and destroys, how welfare rolls skyrocket, how the brokenness of homes skyrocket as a result of that. They're talking about that in Jacksonville. Our mayor received $4,000 contribution from Howard Corman that heads up the gambling. He's the gambling kingpin for Jacksonville. His daughter works in the mayor's office as the head of the intergovernmental affairs office. And then our city councilmen, 11 of them, received anywhere from $1,000 to $2,000 apiece to vote for the referendum. And now, ladies and gentlemen, it's left up to me and you to get the word out in our churches and encourage our pastors to have a backbone and publicly in the pulpits take a stand against it. You see, back in my boys hear me say sometimes the olden days, some of you folks listening recognize and understand what I'm talking about. Some of those preachers of old that had spines and backbones would stand and preach on Sunday against the wickedness of sin and the wickedness of the politicians, and then be published and printed and put in the local town crier on the bulletin board in the city so that everybody will know what the preacher's saying. Today, our problem is pastors are afraid of the numbers, nickels, and noses. Somehow they might offend somebody, might drive somebody off. Somebody asked a number of years ago, said, one preacher said to another, said, you know, if you keep preaching and keep preaching, it's going to drive people off. The man said that he was listening to, he said, where are you going to drive them to? Hell number two, hell number three? Listen, ladies and gentlemen, you're either saved or lost. And if we're saved, old things have passed away, and behold, old things have become new. We're going to take a stand on these moral, ethical issues, and God holds us responsible as Christians to say no and to take a public stand on that. May I remind us, we have today President Obama that's done more to destroy America than all other presidents combined. He has embraced Islam. He's given open concessions, and he has increased Islam via Iran and ISIS by funding them. It wasn't just $400 million that was given for the release of the hostages, but about $170 billion was given. We need to recognize that we have what I believe, and it's my most humble opinion. You disagree, and I'll still love you. But I believe we have the highest paid undocumented worker in America that's sitting in the White House today. And I pray to God that we'll find a replacement in November that can we can look at and realize that at least he honors the Constitution and the rule of law in our nation. We're now in jeopardy of Islamic control in America. This president has directed the U.S. Department of Education and other departments for open bathrooms. That's one of the things that he's done, along with selling us down the drain to the foreign enemy. Yet his two girls, by the way, I don't know if you're aware of this, his two daughters go to elite private schools where they have ladies' bathrooms and men's bathrooms. His two daughters didn't go to schools where they've got open bathroom policy, and yet it's wanting, he wants to push it on the American citizens. By the way, the Supreme Court has of Virginia has just agreed to take the case against the transgender bathrooms. Let me read you a little excerpt from that article. The Virginia Supreme Court has agreed to look into a dispute over a local school district's proposed transgender agenda in which officials of the Fairfax County School Board adopted protection for sexual orientation, sexual identity, or even sexual expression. You realize what that means, ladies and gentlemen? This is what the Tommy Azuri and other city councilmen are wanting to do in Jacksonville with the sexual orientation, sexual identity, and sexual expression. And by the way, in 2012, in the 296 bill, those terms were used, and researchers had proven that for the sexual orientation, sexual identity, and sexual expression or gender expression, there were over 52 different definitions of those three terms. It is almost incalculable as to how it is defined, and therefore any law like that is so nebulous, it's going to put every Christian in the trap of being sued by the sodomite groups that want to have aught and try to destroy Christianity and Christian businesses. Christians need to pray that the Supreme Court will overturn this immoral policy in the state of Virginia. I'm thankful for the governor there and his stand on that. I'm thankful for what is taking place with the ultimately going to the Supreme Court of the state of Virginia, and I pray that there'll be relief for the folks in Virginia. Another article that perhaps you're not aware of, 52 families declare war on Obama's bathroom rules. Let me read you a brief excerpt. It's about a five-page article from the news media online. President Obama's school bathroom policy is under fire in Illinois. In an Illinois case that has 51 families seeking injunctive relief from having their daughters forced to share locker rooms and shower rooms and facilities with the boys. A suburban Chicago school district that has opened its girls' bathroom and locker rooms and shower rooms to boys without even notifying the parents in order to appease the Obama administration and keep its federal funding faces a federal lawsuit that has nationwide implications. May I remind us, I'm delighted that there are parents that are going to take a stand. You know, there's a suit that's been filed against the Duval County School Board and the school board members and to against Dr. Vitti. The attorney has filed suit on behalf of a mother and her three daughters, asking for the courts to give protection for the daughters so they won't be forced to go into shower rooms, locker rooms, and bathrooms where predators, pedophiles, and sexual deviants are perhaps there to harm their daughters. The federal court in Texas, as you know, has already, the Supreme Court of the state of Texas has already blocked the Obama agenda for the transgender bathroom idiocy. May I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, medical science, this is something that perhaps you've not heard. You can call us, by the way, 401-1413. But medical science, in a landmark study on gender and sexuality, debunks, puts to naught the so-called born that way lie. And may I remind us, it is a wonderful thing to understand and know that there is a scholarship behind what's called sexual identity. And as a result of that, the scholars that did the research are being now punished. Let me read you a brief blurb from that. It's an analysis rooted in science, but it is likely to create political firestorms, and the first shots have already been fired. Liberals are already criticizing a landmark study on gender and sexuality. Authors Lawrence Mayer and Paul McHugh of St. Johns Hopkins University found, quote, no evidence for the born that way theory and warned against putting children through transgender transformation. Further in the article, it says the researchers who have dared to publish this study have tremendous courage. Professor Kaner told the news media, quote, "They have basically committed professional suicide." This is one, by the way, that's speaking that's against what these professors and scientists have discovered. "The forces of tolerance and diversity among the LGBT brigade will now harass and demonize these researchers with the vitriol, sexual gender of McCarthyism that they have mastered. They destroy any critics and any dissenters. The researchers have committed heresy in the Church of Secular Progressivism. They will now be punished," according to this particular person that was interviewed about it. I made a little marginal note on that article, by the way. Said, "Thank you, Lord. Those who will stand for truth." May I remind us again that as Christians, we need to stand firm in our faith and not apologize for our biblical view of life and the world and what the Scripture says in relationship to what we ought to do. Because we may not be vindicated here in this world, but ultimately we'll be vindicated in the great bar of justice with God, the Supreme Court Justice of the universe, being the final decider, not me and you and not a federal judge and not a Barack Obama, Hussein Obama's edict. May I remind us, there is a need in society for us to take a stand. And now comes Tommy Azuri, city councilman, and he wants to force Jacksonville to accept the sodomite bill and the HRO. You realize, ladies and gentlemen, if the HRO is passed, and he's talking about reintroducing that in October and November, if the HRO passes in Jacksonville, we'll have multiple lawsuits against small businesses, those that will come up with some non-substantiated claim. It will cause the business to have to get an attorney and defend himself and spend thousands and thousands of dollars and could ultimately lose his business. And if the Human Rights Commission, not a court of law, the Human Rights Commission deems that he is declared to be guilty, he could be fined $50,000. And if it is factual in their eyesight, he could be committed to a jail for 90 days up to a year, all because he may have shown special rights, did not show special rights for the sodomite community in their complaint. May I remind us, the homosexual group, they're not looking for equal rights. Where do you have that in the state constitution, the federal constitution, and in the Duval City Charter of Jacksonville? There's equal rights for every human being, race, creed, or color, making no difference, sexual orientation, making no difference, equal rights. But what this group of folks, people are wanting, they're wanting special rights. I am hereby, listen carefully, and I want you to spread the word. I am hereby today publicly challenging Tommy Azuri or any other city council, man or woman, to an open televised debate on the merits of the HRO in Jacksonville. You hear me? And you can pass the word along. If you know Tommy Azuri, anybody in his office, you might want to call him and tell him that preacher on radio is challenging him. I challenge him to an open debate on the merits of an HRO expansion in Duval County or any other city council member that would want to come to the plate and face a televised open debate for whatever period of time it takes, 30 minutes, an hour, 2 hours. I'm not concerned about the time. I'm concerned about seeing Duval County free of the elements like Tommy Azuri and others that want to destroy the morals, the ethics, and the values in our city. Ladies and gentlemen, in Jacksonville, we must stop this bill before it goes to city council. We must take a proactive stand and say no, no, no to any expansion of an HRO in Duval County. Pray that God will give us victory. Pray that God will have multitudes that's listening and others in our city that will come together. Let's take a stand and foreclose the potentiality of Jacksonville being destroyed with an HRO. Thank you for joining in today. Tune in again tomorrow at the same time as once again we face the issues.
Let's Face the Issues, 5 p.m. Monday through Friday by Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University of Jacksonville, Florida. Dr. Youngblood, a biblical scholar and conservative theologian, deals with a variety of social, political, and moral issues, yet all biblical issues from a central biblicist's point of view. This call-in question and answer broadcast will provide you, the listener, with answers to questions that others have avoided. Remember, God's Word, the Bible, gives us the answers to life's questions and issues. Some of the issues we will address, allowing you, the listener, to call in and ask and respond to are as follows. The dangers of Islam in America and around the world. What about abortion? The sin of homosexuality. Jacksonville and other cities facing the debate over open bathroom laws. Is Jesus really God? Could Jesus sin? The Second Amendment and the Christian. What about the coming Antichrist? Will America face war with Russia? How does Israel fit into prophecy? What is the real mark of the beast, 666? And multitudes of issues and topics. You're invited to tune in every day, Monday through Friday at 5 p.m. to listen to Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.